Good morning, gentlemen. Today's daf is good as gold. Daf Hei Zayin. Okay. Mishnah and Daf Hei Vav Omed Beis. Zot Rebbe the Commissioner in Bat Yisrael. She is set like Kohen to Chal B'Truma. Once again, now we go into the intricate relationships of Chazorah. And we have now all of this Chazorah, of course, is directly in Nogea. And now, for the first time, the Gemara is actually going to show it directly in Nogea, the Sugya of Yibam. Because it turns out that the presence of a child has a lot in common and yet serious differences between Truma, Kibbutz Truma, and Yibam. And finally, with this closing Mishnah, it puts everything into perspective in terms of the Akila. The Gemara will go into those differences, why and how Truma is different than Yibam, and for what reason, and what the relationship is in terms of Kal and Chomer between the two halachas, which at last openly justifies the relationship of the dinim of Achilas Truma to Maseches Yevamos, which we've been suspicious about all along. So, says the Mishnah, the Bat Yisrael who marries a Kohen. Okay, we've already established Ochal B'Truma. She's allowed to eat Truma, that's Kinyan Kaspar of the Kohen. Suppose he dies, v'lahi min ha'pein, so since the Torah said only of Zera Ema and so on, we darshan that she can continue to eat as long as he has a child. So it continues to Chal B'Truma. Now, if at this point she goes ahead and she marries a Levi, now once she marries a Levi being Zar for a Truma, she's no different than a Bas Kohen who started off eating Truma and then goes and marries a Zar. That's what she did. She was, to some extent, the equivalent of a Bas Kohen at this point, because she has a child from a Kohen. But the moment that she marries a Zar, she has to stop eating Truma, but she's allowed to eat Maaser. Now, of course, anybody's allowed to eat Maaser, Mahalacha, but as we saw, if we go a little bit to Rabbi Meir holds that Maaser is also for non-Levim. So this would be continuing the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Now, at this point, if made, now her new husband, her second husband, dies. She continues now to eat if she has a son from this Levi. So now she continues to eat Maaser, but she cannot eat Truma, because just as we saw, as long as she would be married to someone else, and she has even a Bas Kohen, as long as she has Zera, as long as Zera Inla, she can go back to eating Truma. And as long as she has Zera, and in this case she has Zera from a Zar, she cannot go back to eating Truma, but she continues to eat Maaser, because as long as the child is alive, she eats Bischus, the husband, who is still with her. Niseit l'Yisrael, lo tochal, lo b'Truma, v'lo b'Maaser. Now her third husband is a Yisrael. Now this Yisrael, of course, prevents her from eating whatever he's a Zar to. So he's a Zar in terms of Truma, but Elibit Rabbi Meir is also a Zar in terms of Maaser. And therefore, she can now eat nothing. Of course, she won't starve. There's lots of chulin out there, but no Truma and no Maaser. Again, Elibit Rabbi Meir.
What?
As long as she has the child. It's only the Zerahim. We learn out Truma Maaser from Truma. Now, let's see what happens when we start working backwards, and those who came into the world leave the world. Mate Benabi Yisrael. At the moment that her child dies in Yisrael, after her husband dies, she now goes back to eating Maaser, because she still has the son from the Levi. Mate Benami Levi. The moment that her son from the Levi dies, she now goes back to eating Truma, because she now has the son from the Kohen. So that her original marriage remains now binding through the son. Mate Benami Kohen, but now, getting all the way back to where she had started from, her son from the Kohen dies, now once again, lo tocha, lo b'truma, v'lo b'maaser. We have over here a story of one woman who goes from eating no things that have any kedusha, she don't eat chulin, to going all the way up there to eat truma, gradually working her way down. No, now she can only eat maaser, now she can't eat even, now she can eat maaser, now she can eat truma, now she can eat nothing. That's the story of our Mishnah. So we've been able to follow a woman through her career of husbands, which, by the way, is a little bit of a problem, since a woman's not really supposed to have a career of husbands, since she's considered to be a katlanit at the second time. If you don't believe the Rebbe, is the Mishnah indeed only going aliba the shitas that hold that you need three times for husbands to drop dead before? So maybe, however, the simple explanation is that, remember, we have a machlokas about why a katlanit is a surah. One is the question of whether it was mayan or imam. something wrong with her, some venereal issue. According to there, there's no problem at all. Both of her original husbands may have died in automobile accidents, which generally is not a venereal disease, although you never know. But what about according to the other non-Gemara? Even if there she does, that's saying, this is my little guess, the Gemara, but the question of how much we say mazel gerim lo, that machlokas, or shitas, that say that there, which clearly not an Indian of Basel, for instance, a guy puts himself into a sakana and he likes to do sky jumping, his parachute doesn't open. Difficult to believe that her mazel was gerim. Or if you have an overall, there's a war breaks out, hundreds of thousands of people are killed, her husband is among the many soldiers that are killed. Again, we don't say mazel gerim according to some shitas. In that situation, it's certainly possible. The Mishnah doesn't have to now get into the details. As long as it's possible for us to work out a case where she has three husbands, so this is a perfectly valid illustration of a woman's life and the way in which the various dinim now add zechus to her achila, subtract from the zechus of her achila, whether it's in terms of marriage, in terms of the continued existence of a child, and so on. You'll notice, by the way, one very blatant difference between this and the case of Yibam. Is that over here, when the child gives her a right because of his remaining in the world and therefore continuing the presence of her husband, the fact is that, interestingly enough, if he dies, it's all over. Mashenka, when it comes to Yibam, we don't say that. By Yibam, we say, if a child is alive at the time of death, the fact that he dies a week later doesn't mean that all of a sudden she's chayevus in Yibam. She was Ptura from Yibam and remains Ptura from Yibam. That's an interesting difference between Yibam and Truma, which the Gemara, of course, is going to have to analyze at last, because now we're looking at the relationship between the two sugyas straight in the face. All right. By the way, this halacha of the child eating, we've seen a little bit of contradictions in it, because the pashtus is, as the Tashbetz points out, I mean, the pashtus is that the child has no zechus to be masil directly, even though we read it from the point of view of the pasuk Yelid Beito, we say Yochal Vidashin Yachil, which reminds me the child actually is Machil. But it can't be that the child is directly Machil exclusively, because I mean even a child who's a mamzer, right, where she wasn't possible, I mean, the mission we had earlier, it's a grandchild that's a mamzer from the Kohen, certainly is worse than a czar. He's not Machil, but Truma. But nonetheless, she continues to eat Truma, like the funny case of the woman who's got her grandson, the Kohen Gadol. The woman's got the grandson, the mamzer. So she can eat because of the mamzer. Obviously, the mamzer has no care to eat himself, certainly cannot be ma'achil. So it's clear that he's only being ma'achil because he continues the presence of the grandfather who is long gone, but she's now still eating the kocho. The question is, if you recall, we had the problem before where Kohen rapes a woman and she also has a child. So when the child is born, he is ma'akil the mother, despite the fact that the father, because he was never kena the mother, is not ma'akil the mother. Now, how do you explain that? That seems to imply that there is a kayach of Yelid Beito ma'akil. If he could be open, he can literally be ma'akil. So there's two ways to understand that. One way to understand it is that the birth of the child becomes now the other way in which the grandfather, the rapist, is indeed ma'akil. In other words, he could be tainted either through a kinyan of keser, which in this case rape avoided, and didn't cost him any money, but he can also be tainted in the sense of a ha'achala through Yelid Beisa. It's not that it goes to the child, even though the Mishnah says over there, so you see, yofa kecha ben mikecha av, father himself wasn't able to be ma'achal. But that could be wasn't able to be ma'achal through a rape. But having a child, perhaps, would be able to be ma'achal, or there may indeed be two completely different mechanisms. If a child himself is roy to be ma'achil, he'd be ma'achil the mother, he'd be paid to ma'achil, we would understand as a separate drasha, besides the keach of the Kohen that initially gave birth to this child. Or we could understand it the other way. We can understand it that there's two ways that are going to be ma'achil, either by having a child with this woman, whether she was his wife or not, or by having a kinyan on this woman, whether she had a child or not. So that these would be alternatives. Okay. Now, let's take the next case. Bat Kohen, we have the case over here of Bat Yisrael. We gave the Bat Yisrael basically the equivalent didn't of a Bat Kohen, and now when she got married to somebody else, a Levi Yisrael, boom, she loses her rights the same way as if she had been a Bat Kohen, she would lose her rights to eat if she had married Yisrael. However,
There are subtle differences. Now let's take a look at this. A bat kohen marries a Yisrael. Okay. At that moment, lo tochal b'truma, right? Mate. Now, if she wouldn't have had a child, so then she would be shavel beit aviyakin ureh, as the Torah says. However, if, that's only if zera inla. Sounds awfully familiar, that zera inla. And if she has, therefore, a bain, so v'lo imen a ben, so then lo tochal b'truma. Now, she goes and gets married to the levi. Okay, now according to Rabbi Meir, she gets close to eating maaser. Mate, the lahi men abein. Now, if he dies, leaving her with a child, she still can't eat truma because she has the kinyan of a zar on her, which, if it affected a bat kohen, certainly it's, it affected the bat Yisrael, affects the bat kohen in the same way up until this point. Niseit la kohen. Ooh. So here we have to start the other way because she was eating truma before she got married. So you were starting bottom up, but the Bat Yisrael, we have to start top down. She first marries a Kohen, then marries a Levi, then marries. And here, she first marries a Yisrael, loses her rights completely. She marries a Levi, gains rights to Achilas Maaser. Here's a fascinating difference. She's Niseit HaKohen. Now she eats Truma. And what's the reason for that? Despite the fact that she has a child from Yisrael or from a Zayin, she nonetheless eats Truma, which was not the case with the Bat Yisrael, right? The moment that Bas Yisrael had a child, that child prevented her, by definition, from eating truma. So what we're saying over here is that the Bat Kohen, who has a child from a Yisrael, can still be in the same situation as being a Bat Yisrael. So suppose a Bat Yisrael would go now and marry a Kohen. So she would get the rights to eat from the Kohen. The existence of a child from Yisrael is not going to bother her. Yeah, that's like a, I don't know, because it would be. Which one? The Israel child? No, no, of course not. No. It, you mean in terms of the oath of the Marakil, we said. The king and Kasko of the king and Kasko, right? Or the Yuli Beit, exactly. These, yeah.
I'm lost somewhere where the difference is because it seems to me that it goes back to being the same case.
Well, let's take a look. Nised la Kohen tochal b'truma. Mate v'lai men aben, she continues to eat b'truma. Mate b'nami kohen, now going back down again. Her son dies from the kohen, lo tochal b'truma. Mate b'nami levi, lo tochal b'maser. And here's the curious thing. The moment mate b'nami Yisrael, then choseret l'beit aviyah. So over here, it's literally the opposite. It's a mirror image of the first case, where now in not having any children, she does start eating truma again. So now she goes back and she starts eating again. Alright, so what we've done over here is we've created an equivalency, which we don't really know where it comes from. We've basically given the same din to a Bat Yisrael who eats truma b'schus her husband. We've given her the same din as a Bat Kohen who is eating truma because she's a Bat Kohen. So we're saying whatever affected one would affect the other. All right. How do you know, says the Gemara? Mate benami Levi. You said she went and married a Kohen. Now her son from the Levi dies. She goes back to eating truma. That is a heck of a chiddush. Now, how do we know that she wasn't nifselet? Where does it say that a Bat Yisrael who had once eaten truma because of the Kohen now is able to continue eating truma as long as she doesn't have a child who prevents her from eating truma? This is the case of the Bat Yisrael, not the case of the Bat Kohen. The Bat Kohen, even though she had a child from a Yisrael, didn't matter if she married a Kohen. She was allowed to continue in Truma, right? That was the difference, Moshe Bar. I said that for your benefit, you weren't even listening. The Bat Yisrael, who has a child, cannot eat even though she still has a child from the Kohen who's being ma'akil her. But the Bat Kohen, who has a child from Yisrael, doesn't matter. She now is able to eat because she has now a Kohen. The Reisha that talked about a Bat Yisrael spoke only about her having a marriage to a Kohen that could be ma'akil her without having a child from a Zar. But if she had a child from a Zar, she wasn't able to eat. So they're not really equivalent cases. A lot of discussion. Why is that true? Why wouldn't they be equivalent? But before we even get to why they aren't equivalent, why would we, how does the Gemara know that there is a din of chazorah? The din of chazorah in the Torah is only said on a bat kohen who is shavah beit avia kinu'ureha. What you're saying is that a bat Yisrael, who became, for all intents and purposes, in terms of achilas truma, she became a bas kohen by marrying a kohen, that even though afterwards she was married to a Yisrael, when that Yisrael dies, and the son, or if there were children, and the son dies from that Yisrael, then she's allowed to go back to her Beit Ba'alah, not Beit Aviyah. Where does that come from? I mean, that's a big question. Maybe once she stops eating, she stops eating. Who says it's a din of chazorah? The hadra achla mishum bina. She now goes back to eating because of the son. That's what it says. Make nami levi. She has a son from the Kohen from before. She now eats because of that son. I mean, no one. Where does that halacha come from? Omer Ravava, Omer Rav, I'll tell you. We darshan it from the extra vav, bat uvat. It is uvat kohen. So that uvat kohen ki tiyeh almana ugrusha, v'shava beit avia kinu ureha. What's the uvat? Either she is or she isn't. Oh, must be a bat Yisrael who is in essentially a bas kohen at this point, because she's eating truma due to her husband. So now this din of chazara b'shava kinu'ureha applies now to the equivalent case of a bat Yisrael. So in having lost the ma'akev of achilas truma, which was either the presence of her husband, who was a zar, or the presence of his child, at some level the husband's still there, she then goes back also.
Whenever it says bas u'bas, it means...
We're getting there again.
I just want to clarify. It's just the verse could have said bas.
That's, we're going to see. That's the question. We go through again the way we've done three times up until now. Ask the Gemara, is this only Aliva to Rabbi Akiva? Is it that you're darshaning the Ketara could have said bas, as Ramendel just said, instead of uba? But that's only like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is darsh the extra vav. Says the Gemara, no, afil came Rabbana. Since in this case, as we saw earlier, the whole pasuk does not have to be introduced with the word ubat kohen at all, because the previous pasuk was ubat kohen ki tiyeh le'ish zar. So the next pasuk could have just said v'chi tiyeh almana ugrusha v'shava beit aviyah. We have to start all over again with ubat kohen. It's a direct continuation of the few words before. Therefore, the avoidance of the pronoun and the restatement of ubat kohen is entirely a koyet rahu. It's all extra, and therefore we could dash it. Even I'll leave it to rabbonin who don't dorish vav. Tana rabbonin, kishehi chozer. You should know that the halacha of chazara in its mikor, its mikor means a bas kohen, literally, who is going back to Beit Aviha, she is limited, because when she is chozeret, she is chozeret l'truma. She is not chozeret l'chozev eshok. Ma she'en came, the case of ochelet over here as a bat Yisrael, she, remarkably, is chozeret to her previous state in which she was eating both kodesh, meaning truma, and mura min hakodesh, meaning chozev eshok, which is amazing, because it means that we're going to give more rights to the bat Yisrael as being chozeret to eat because of the Bna HaKohen, then we are to the Bat Kohen is going back to Beit Aviyah. What would be the mocker of this? Omer Chista, Omer Avina Bar Shila. First, let's find the Makar for why we would think that there's only Chazara for Truma. I mean, that sounds weird. If she's back, she's back, no? Micro, well, as we saw earlier, we already know basically this particular drasha. It says over there, Ubat Kohen ki tiyeh le'izzar, he b'trumata kodashim lo tochel. Now, that word, of course, this pasuk, the pashtus is referring to a case of a marriage to an izzar ben Yisrael. However, if you remember the Gemara before, we darshaned from this pasuk that it can't really mean what it's saying. Because to tell me the halacha that she's able, that she has to stop eating truma from having a husband who's a ben Yisrael, we know that from the fact that then Pasuk said, v'shava el beit aviyah kinu'ureha, when her husband dies. So obviously, if she still had that husband, if she was not an almana v'grusha, so then she wasn't eating truma. So what do you have to tell me, beferishki, that if a bat kohen ki tiyeh le'izar, he b'trumat hakodashim lo tochal? So we darshan from the pasuk that first of all this means that if she was nevela to a pasul, so then she becomes psula from akilas truma. That was the main drasha that we had earlier. But over there she would be nifselet totally. Now what I'm wondering is, to tell me she's nifselet, so you could have told me. He, because she's not tochel. She's not no right to eat from any kodesh, which would include truma. Truma is also called kodesh. Truma and chazav shol. What are you telling me? That he betrumata kodeshim lo tochel. Therefore, we understand that this part of the pasuk is indeed talking about a permanent psul, the way the rest of the pasuk is. The permanent psul being that if she is tiyel izar, never again betrumata kodeshim tochel. So she can't eat trumata kodeshim, that which is muram min hakodesh, which is chazav shol. But if she's an aman of a grusha, continues the pasuk. Then the Shavah Beit Aviyah, Lagabe the normal Kodesh, but not Lagabe the Trumata Kodesh. So in other words, we see over here a remarkable halacha. Again, Kulei Berem is based on our understanding of the drush of the Pasuk. So that's telling us that there, besides the din of Nive'elet the Pasula, which we learned over there in the scene of Manzer Cholol, that she becomes Psula permanently from eating anything, there's also a remez over here that in a marriage simply to a Yisroel, there's also a permanent impact. And that permanent impact is Lagabe Chozer Vishal. Or if I tell you, I didn't know. I'm not sure. Fine. Remarkable. Beautiful, beautiful drasha. Mamash, beautiful drasha. Because, I mean, even once we've shown that the pasuk can't mean the truth, and we've shown that Afkamina and Sivel is possible, we have this beautiful extra word that makes no sense at all, but Trumata Kodesh. Either say Truma or say Kodesh. In a way, it's such a fantastically meduyak piece of information that there exists a case where she becomes nifsela kipshute kitiel izar ibetrumata kadashim lo tochal ever, which is the deeper meaning of the whole pasuk of the psula. She can't eat anything. Okay. Reb Nachman Omer Rabba Bar Avuha, you don't have to go there, says Reb Nachman. Rabba Bar Avuha said the way to learn this out is simply from the actual pasuk of Chazara. It says when she goes back, so then she goes abeit avia kinu reha mi lechem avia tocha. What's the term mi lechem? What do you mean mi lechem? Just say lechem avia tocha, right? So mi lechem avia comes to tell me not all of that lechem, only some of that lechem. Mi lechem avia v'lo kol lechem avia. What would that be telling me? The lower level of kedusha, truma, yes, but not everything. She's no longer the way she used to be as a child. Prat lechaz avishol. Who says it's prat l'chaz v'shov? Maybe what it's coming to tell me is, ema prat l'afaras nedar? Look, you don't have to necessarily say that the drasha is coming specifically in terms of the word that it's using. Milechem avia may be stressing, oh yes, milechem avia tochel. But don't think that that means she's a daughter the way she used to be. She's only a daughter in terms of her food. But don't think that because her father, before she got married, used to have rishus to be made for nedarim. So now that she's back at home, he once again gets rishus back to be made for nedarim. Milechem aviatocha, but that's about it. He should open up his wallet to close his mouth. So that's what it's coming to tell him. It's none of his business for nedarim. Yeah.
For how long does the husband, until what age does the husband?
This is ageless.
Father can do it even when she's 15 and 16.
Do what? I would have thought that if she's been put back into her shoes. No.
Plus
a nurim.
Namely, till about.
Nurim, 12 and a half. Yeah. Exactly. Not about. Exactly.
And before 12, you don't need it at all. So it's really only.
Well, it depends. If the mufla, some of leash, is a year before the nadar.
The father has is a year, year and a half.
That's right. Omar Rava, it says Rava can't be coming to tell me that. Because for Paska, Tanadeve Rabbi Yishmael, you see clearly from the rise of Rabbi Yishmael, by the way, as Tosis points out, according to this understanding, the Gemara's question over here had nothing to do with the Kohen. It was just in general. In other words, we should see from here that the reestablishing the Rishus of a father over a child who got married should not be the Nogel and Adorah. So of course, we learn out that this is a general rule of Kalatari Kula. But this, as the Gemara, we know from the Tanadeve Rabbi Yishmael, the Tanadeve Rabbi Yishmael, the neder almanah grusha yakum aleha. So the Torah says over here that if she's an almanah of a grusha, then there's nobody now who can be made for a nedarim. She's stuck. Ma Talmud Lomar? What's coming to talk about? I mean, what would I have thought? Look, she doesn't have a father because the father lost her shus and giving her over to the Baal. She doesn't have a husband. She's mutzah miklalav. She's mutzah miklal Baal. So I don't even need a pasuk for this. Says Tosfos, this is it. You don't need the rest of the drasha. Because if what we're talking about is a general concern for the situation of the relationship to a father, then it's the very fact that the Tanit Rei Rabbi Shmuel takes for granted that this is a function of the Rishus of the father that shows us that we don't need a drasha. But the Tanit Rei Rabbi Shmuel takes it a step further. At what point does the father lose his Rishus? It's coming to tell me a Kiddush that HaRei Shemasar HaAv L'Shulchei HaBaal. Suppose the wedding hasn't taken place yet. The father hands her over to the people that have come to pick her up with those decorated cars with the ribbons all over it and so on. So they walk her out to the car. She gets into the car. She's on her way to the chuppah. On the way to the chuppah, her husband-to-be drops dead. Horrible situation. Even worse, it sends her a get. Well, I don't know, is that worse? Well, from her point of view, it is. So, Arei Shamas or Shluchei Av or Shluchei Abal. And then this arma on this garsha baderach. So either the Av gives her over to the Shluchim, or vice versa. The father sends his people out to walk her to the car. And not, I shouldn't say vice versa, the Shluchim on either end. But in any event, on her way now to the chuppah, she becomes an almana or a grusha. So baderach. So Eichani Koreba, tell me, what is she now? What's her status? I mean, she never really got married yet. But is this itself the end of the rishus of the father? Do I call her Beit Avia, and she's still got a Beit Av, or do I look at her Beit Baal Ashazu, and therefore she's already, because of the fact that she went into the car, that's already Beit Baal, so to speak. Because he handed her over to the Shulchim.
She shouldn't be the Ketana until she wasn't a Bogeret yet. If she became a Bogeret...
No, the father was Moser her.
She
would be a Bulgarian, which is in the Naharut also for half a year. Elo Marlacha, that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell me. That Neder Amanal Grusha Yakum Alea, even in a case where you might think she had a father, she doesn't have a father. Given she had such a Katmishitah, Shuve Noyakola Afer. So don't come and tell me that Milechem is coming to address the Forest of Dorn. The Torah addresses the Forest of Dorn very well in the Parsha of Nadarim, and it makes it clear that even the Mesira alone is enough to remove her from the Rishus of the Father. There's no Havamina that she went back for Rishus. So why does it say Milechem? Must be to tell me that she only gets some of the Lechem. She doesn't get all of the Lechem. Rav Safra says, no distress on Lechem. The Lechem over here is not meat. Milechem aviyatocha. Lechem velo basar. That's the point. So the Truma is Lechem. The Chaziv HaShok is meat. Now, the truth is, of course, that this is not so partial, because lechem always means food. Doesn't mean bread, particularly bal shatzar, malka, avad, lechem rat. Right? That's food. It's not that he just served lachmaniot at his banquet, obviously, right? The case of the kids who were eating, Daniel, Panani, Mishova, Azari, they were eating lechem in the beginning. All right, so the idea over here is that these are some of the Rishonim learn, because otherwise there's problems in this later shot, is that this is all one drasha. You're telling me maybe it means to be lechem. You're saying it means to be lechem alo kol lechem. Maybe it means a forest of the donor. I'm telling you it's here innate in the pasuk. If I'm stressing me lechem, so then it's telling me limit the meaning of lechem to lechem. That's what it's saying. I'm meaning the meaning of lechem to not a forest of the donor. So it has to be something that's within the same set of things. Generally, lechem is broad enough to include meat. Mi lechem limits the set to lechem mamish. That's all. So, mevela, we should exclude, in this case, obviously, without further ado, forget about the hafaras tadorim issue completely. The stress in the pasuk is not basar, but it's certainly not a word lechem, according to this, that would tell us this. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says it's even easier than that. It comes from the word aviyah. It's mi lechem aviyah tochal. That's the pshat. Lechem hakanui la'aviyah. She is allowed to eat any food at all that is given to the father as a kinyan. Chazav Ashok is not his. Chazav Ashok is a gift to him that allows him to eat mishulchan gavoa kazoch. Truma is given to a kohen, but achilas kachim is not given to a kohen. He's allowed to eat at God's table, so to speak. She's not invited. This is not hers. because it isn't his. So therefore, a guest can't bring in another guest. So normally, we're over there, the Torah was Mezakeh, father, and his pristine family. Fine, that's already, the Torah wants to invite the family, because in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites her to eat also. But over here, when she's coming back, it specifically says she can eat from what the father has. I'm not inviting her. So therefore, she only has the right to eat from Truma, and not from Pleza V'Shahu. V'Rava Amar, Rava says, look, the Pasuk says, V'et Chazeh HaTrufa, V'et Shok HaTruma, Tochlu, B'makom Tahor, Ata U'Banecha U'Venotecha Itach. Okay, you got that? Itach. Bizman She'it. It's davka, it's itcha, but not in this case. She's no longer, you don't give me this business that she's itcha. Itcha means, what do you have to say itcha? Just say you and the family. The pshat is two levels of a family. Obviously, everybody senses this. There's a level of a family in a pristine state. There's a level of a family, chas v'shalom, when a child returns home after a marriage that ends in divorce or a widowhood. So, okay, she may be living at home, but certainly not the family itcha. It's not the same family that it was. It's not with you, Kipshutai. And therefore, this is not including the case of Chazav Ashok. The Torah doesn't, forget about Chazorah. The Torah says in the parsha of Chazav Ashok directly that it's limited to the family that's Itach. Omer of Ada Bar Abba, Tana, Kishihi Chozeret, Lebeit Avia, Chozeret Lechuma, Veino Chozeret Lechazav Ashok. Okay. But we had an extended form of Chazorah in our Mishnah. The extended form of Chazorah was a Bas Yisrael who had a child from a Kohen, now has a child from a Yisrael or a Levi. The death of the second child, now after her husband dies, allows her to go back to her husband. We saw this as an extension of Bat Ubat, right? Remarkably, despite the fact that there's a limitation on going back to a father's table, and she would not be Zaycha to Chazav Ashok, when she goes back to the secondary Chazorah, which is to her husband's table, even though her husband is dead, but she has a child from him, there she is Chozeret Af L'Chazav Ashok. Also Rav Mordechai. So Rav Mordechai went and said over this mimer of Rav Ada Bar Abba, which was a Brisa really he was quoting. He said it over to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was outraged. Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? The only way you even know that there's a din of Chazorah is from the Ubat, right? May, quote, Ubat, unquote. So how could the secondary derivation from Ubat be better than the Bat herself? Now, it doesn't make sense to me. Mi adifa la mina? Could she be even better off as a Bas Yisrael going back to her husband's shulchan, then the daughter who's going back is the primary discussion in the pasuk, and over there the daughter is limited, says the Gemara. Indeed, she is. Because hatam k'tivei miyute. Look, where it talks about the daughter, it says beferish. Mi lechem avia. It's all in terms of all in terms of avia, specifically. So we can include her in the case of Chazorah. The Torah never gave any limits to a shulchan of a husband. The fact that she is eating for a dead husband does not change the relationship. I mean, particularly if you learn this out from the limitations in the pasuk of Chazav Ashok. I mean, Chazav Ashok, which is limiting her from what? The itach? I mean, what does that have to do with the husband? The husband is still exactly the same family as it was. So if she's eating because of the presence of the husband to the child, why should it be any different? Tosis points out, okay, that makes sense if that's where you're limiting it from. I mean, so then it's really nothing to do with this halacha. But I mean, how about if you're learning it from the other psukim? That b'trumat hakodashim, dafka hi b'trumat hakodashim. That over there she becomes nifselet. How do you know that that's dafka chazorah b'beit avia? Maybe that's like any chazorah. Right? That's a little bit strange. So, I mean, Tosfos says, because the beginning of the pasuk says, Ubat Kohen. Both of the pasukim in the first pasuk says, Ubat Kohen, Ibetrumata Kodashim Lotochas. It's a din in a Bat Kohen. Okay. Fine. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about how each one of those drushes that we had before, Milach and Lokolach and Lach and Lobas, how they all fit in to the fact that we're saying over here, Loksiv and Yute. But there are ways of learning each one, and this is a rather rare situation in which we take the pasuk, we split it really into two. One talking about a bat kohen, and one talking about a bat yisrael. Bat kohen sheni seifli yisrael. Now the other way around. Bat kohen gets married to yisrael, the servant, she says no chazor as long as she has zera. Okay. So let's take a look at the cases where she would not be able to go back. Tanu Rabban. Vishava al beit avia. Now here is our first direct connection to Yivam. Vishava al beit avia prata shomeret yavam. Since she's a shomeret yavam, she cannot go back because she's not going back. She's still got all kinds of dinim that she's got to take care of. She's got a busy schedule with chalitza or Yivam. She's certainly not free to go back to beit avia. Furthermore, she can not go back if she's pregnant, because it says v'shava kine ureha. We would certainly assume that she wasn't pregnant when she started, somewhere along the line. If she's going back in ureha, prat l'muda. At this point, she's pregnant, and as any pregnant girl would not exactly come back into the house with a big smile on her face, so too this one is not shava al beit avia. Oh, now here finally we get to the Gemara's inter, the close of the sugya. We finally get into the interrelationship, the profound interrelationship between achilas truma, b'schus of a baal, to yibum, b'schus of a baal, so to speak. In other words, how does the reshus of a baal continue to affect a woman after the death of the husband? There's two ways. One in yibum, the other in achilas truma. But what's interesting is that even though there's a certain parallel, there's certain striking differences between the two. The two striking differences are as follows. In the case of Yibam, the status that she would have of having a child from somebody else would be irrelevant. It matters only whether she has his child. So we won't say, but a woman who has a child from another man, she is certainly not going to be remaining in the presence of her husband after his death. The child from the other man rips her away. That's what we say by Truma. But Truma, we say, if she's got a child for somebody else, forget about it. The fact that she's got a child for this guy is not enough to put her back into the relationship with him. Isn't that what we said? We don't say that by Yibam. That's one very profound difference. The other difference is also extremely powerful. The case of Truma is determined by the status at any particular moment of the existence of the child. If 10 years later the child dies, all of a sudden she stops eating Truma. Or all of a sudden she starts eating Truma, as the case may be. But when it comes to Yibam, the problem is of the child's presence is determined at one moment, the instant of death. If the child dies 5 minutes later, she's pure from Yibam. Certainly 10 years later, she's pure from Yibam. So we don't say that it's the ongoing presence of the child. Why do we have these two differences? And this is, you see how beautiful this is. We finally get to take a look squarely at the issue of why it is we've been speaking about Truma in Maseches Yevamos all along. The two sugyas have a lot in common. Now we have to discuss why are they different. So ask the Gemara v'haladinu. Uma b'makom shelo asa vlad min harishon ki vlad min hasheni lepotra min hayibum asa ubar ki elud. And here is a third difference. If she's pregnant, then the pregnancy alone is sufficient now when it comes to Yibum to be considered the equivalent of a child. At least insofar as that if a Yibum took place or if a Chalitza took place while she was pregnant, it's meaningless if she ends up losing that child. So the pregnancy per se is definitive when it comes to Yibum. And yet, the pregnancy in terms of Truma is not definitive. If she's left pregnant, she does not have the right to continue to eat. It's only Yulud Machir, V'sheinu Yulud Eino Machir. Therefore, ask the Gemara, explain to me, if when it comes now to Yibum, now when it comes to Yibum, the vlad from another man does not affect her Chiyub of Yibum at all. When it comes to Truma, it does, correct? So then that means that Yibum, the Torah, is far more makbit on the relationship that she has with this last guy that she's married to. Her husband who just died. That's all that we look at. And when it comes to Yibam, we were saying, okay, look, over there, the vlad is sufficient. So, asa vlad min harishon ki vlad, asa uber ki yolud. So if you're telling me that the Torah is willing to tolerate the presence of any vlad at all, when it comes to truma. I don't care where that blot comes from, first guy, second guy, and so on. What's important to me is we got to look at the overall situation. So can't we look at it as saying that if you're looking at the overall situation, she's pregnant. I mean, isn't that meaningful? So wouldn't we say that also uber ki alud? So for sure, we should say that a makom she'asa v'lad min harishon k'v'lad min hasheni leposla min hatruma in adin she'nasa uber ki alud. Why wouldn't the presence of an uber be sufficient to continue the presence of that particular husband? No, it's just on the contrary. So now we're going to get all three differences wrapped in one limud. When it comes now, says the Gemara, to the case of the Yibum, where the Ibur was important, that's because the important thing over there was the existence of the child in the world at that one moment. So over there, the Torah says, look, even though the child is currently dead, we're going to view that child as alive, because he was alive at the time that the husband died, and that's all that's important. So that means she will never go back to being Chayev Yibum. We're going to see why later on. So therefore, it may also be saying that, look, because we're willing to extend the presence of a child after death, perhaps we're willing to extend the presence of the child before birth. So if the child is only a fetus, he still will potter from Yibum. Masha Einkin, when it comes to Truma, where all that interests us is the actual presence of the child in the world, and the moment that he dies, he no longer impacts her Alokha Bakivas Truma, so maybe before he's born, he shouldn't impact her Akivas Truma. Makes sense? So over there, Lein Truma, shall we say, Nasa Uberti Alud Lein Truma, Shaloasa Meitim Kechayim? So now we don't know anymore, therefore we need the Pasuk. Talmud Lomar Kin Uriah, if it hadn't been for that pasuk. Now she can only go back home if she is in the state that she was in when she was a youngster, so that she wasn't pregnant. So just like in Uriah brought the Uberet, so here she's going back now without an Uber. So now it's interesting because, I mean, if even if she's Uberet, she doesn't go back, why did the Torah have to say Vizera Ima? Right? You're saying if she's pregnant, she cannot go back to her husband. You bring the mat with you? If she's pregnant, she cannot go back to her husband, to her father. Koshi can't, if she's got a child, she can't go back to her father. So why mention Vizera Ela if you're already telling me Kinu Urel? Obviously, if she's got a child, she's not Kinu Urel. Right? And does that follow? Says the Dor. No. Actually, we have two separate halachas. One is Ibur. Itzach l'michtav, the Torah has to tell me the halacha of a mu'uberet, meaning, with correct yursa, as the Bach puts it, is itzach l'michtav kinu urea l'mu'ute mu'uberet, put in those two words. The itzach l'michtav is zera'enla to be memayat, the case where she had a child. Because let's say the Torah would have said v'zera'enla, okay. But, oh, well, naturally, I mean, now she's really mikorach ad gufa, v'ashta trei gufa, she's going to come home with a grandchild now. I mean, that is a really serious change. I mean, she used to be one person, now she's become two people. I mean, I understand that Torah doesn't want her to now go back to her father's home. I mean, she's not what she was. She's now a mother. Alma Milberet. But, I mean, she comes back pregnant. What's the difference if she's pregnant? That's all internal. Bottom line is, look, she used to be one body, she's still one body. I mean, so maybe Korachad Guva Vashta Chad Guva. So maybe over there, she's not like with child in a literal sense, she's only with child. So over there, ema techo, trich. On the other hand, let's say that there is said a muberes isn't ocheles, you'll say so. Koshikin, if she's only muberes, I mean, so koshikin, she has a child, and that doesn't follow. Because the ibur is a change in herself, whereas the child is a change in something outside of herself. So if the Torah would have said a muberes doesn't go back to her father's home to eat truma, I would have said, that's because me kora gufasrika, look. When she left, she had an empty womb. V'ashta gufa malia. Now she's got a fuller body. She's very different. She's now carrying something else. She's not the same person she was. Masha'in came. When it's Zera, okay, Zera over there. I mean, what's the difference? Mikara gufa srika v'ashta gufa srika. I mean, she could have put the kid in an orphanage if she didn't want to bring him up. As far as the father is concerned, That's his prerogative, to be mityaches to the child, not to be mityaches to the child. Bottom line is, as far as his relationship to her is concerned, it's the same little girl that left the house that's come back to the house. He doesn't have to take a look at the fact that now she's a mother. So imolo over there. I would say that maybe in Okinami there are no limitations. Therefore, tzricha, we have two separate psukim, one vizera'inla to tell me only if she has no child, and the other to tell me kin urea, that only if she has no swollen belly. Omalei Rav Yehuda Nedeskarta L'Rava. Exploring further the interrelationship of Yibum to the Din of Achilas Truma, why don't we start on the other end? I mean, it seems to me that you started with a number of assumptions. You started with an assumption that Ibur counts by Yibum. You started with an assumption that the Torah would view Meitim Kechayim when it comes to Yibum. If a child died, 10 years later, there's not suddenly a Chalos of Achiv of Yibum on her. But those were assumptions. I mean, if the Torah does give us some direct guidance when it comes to Truma, should we not apply the halachas of Truma to Yibum? And we've been looking at it the other way around. Why don't we say like this? Lo na'aseh meitim kechayim l'inyan Yibum mikal v'chomer. Let's start now on the other end. Let us say that a child now who dies shall not be kechayim. Because you're saying meitim kechayim. I say, let's not make meitim kechayim. From a mikal v'chomer. If ma b'makom she'asav v'lad min ha'rishon k'v'lad min ha'sheni l'pos la min ha'truma. When you come along now and you say, well, look, if this woman has got now a child from anybody, I don't care, even if it's not his, she's got a child from this other guy, that's enough now to possible her from Truma, despite the fact that she's got a child from him. So that's a din by Truma. And over there, even so, lo asa meitim kachayim, despite the fact that the Torah is willing to be very liberal in its consideration of what is considered to be a child, it does not view a dead child as a child when it comes to Truma. So lo asa meitim kechayim, this is Vezera Inla at the time, makom shelo asa vlad min arishon kevlad min hashini, in a place where the Torah did not make another child an issue when it comes to Yibam. All that counts is, does her latest husband have a child? I don't care, don't tell me about children that she may have. That's irrelevant. So, and that doesn't bother her from Yibam. We don't say, and think about how we should, we don't say, can we truly view this woman as being capable of taking the place of her husband because she does not carry a child? If Lamaisa, the cases where she would carry a child from somebody else when it comes to Truma, we would say, this woman cannot be viewed as relating still to her husband. She's got somebody else's child to worry about. When it comes to Yibum, we don't say that. We say, no, look, she's got 10 kids from somebody else, but bottom line is, what's her relationship with this guy? Can she now stand in this marriage through marriage to a brother? Yes, that's all that counts. Never thought about that when it came to Truma, right? So, then, certainly when it comes to Yibum, we should say, and the fact that she had a child at the time that he died, but now the child died, why is she now not back where she was before in terms of that relationship? If that was good enough for Truma, it should certainly be good enough for Yibum, where the Torah has standards that are much more powerful in terms of her relating to her husband. Talmud Lomar? Amazingly, where do we know this from? We learn it from, as any conservative rabbi would tell you, Jirachel Darke Noam V'chol Nativoteh Shalom. How can we believe that the Torah would tell us something so mad? A woman, her husband dies, she goes ahead and gets married, 10 years later, her children from the first husband are killed in a car crash. All of a sudden, her husband is not allowed to sleep with her anymore. She's a Shomer Zagav now. He's got to wait until she gets chalitza now from a brother that he didn't even remember anymore that she was married. She was married for 3 days to this other guy. So now you're telling me, after having a whole big family from this other guy, all of a sudden she now requires chalitza from her brother. The husband's going to be, oh my God, like this woman was, she's not even really my wife. I don't know how to look at her anymore. I mean, it's a disaster. You're telling me this is what the Torah says. It's outrageous. Why should we think such a thing? So therefore, it's not a reasonable way of understanding the pasuk. If the Torah is not telling you,
in one direction or another clearly what it wants. It just says, okay, that he dies of ben ein lo. So then we understand that it's to be defined at that moment. Okay, I accept that, says Rabbi Yehuda Midas Karta Torah. But now let's turn it around. Now why don't we say that once that's been established, then why don't we establish it by Truma and learn Truma out of Yima? Nasa metim kechayim le'inyin Truma mikavachomer. The same kavachomer now should work in the inverse. If in a place shalosa v'lad min harishon k'v'lad min hasheni l'potra min hayimu, the Torah does not view the existence of a child from another guy as being relevant to Yibam. She's still capable of living with her first husband despite her children from another marriage. Afal Pekin, it considers a child from that husband to once have been in extent, it no longer matters whether he's alive or not. So, I mean, certainly in a place where the Torah was marked, like by Truma, where it was Asav Ladman Arishon, Kiv Ladman Ashnidl, Post Ladman Ashruma. The fact that she's got other children is enough to prevent her from eating Truma. In Odinshin Asa, Meitim Kechayim, isn't it clear, therefore, that we should view the child of the Kohen as being definitive of her eating Truma, even though he subsequently dies? Because now the Kavachomer works from Yibam to Truma. Talmud Lomar. No, the Torah says v'zera ein la. There are no children. V'ha ein la. Look, she's got no children. It says shaval beit aviyah. It doesn't say at what point. Over there, when it comes to Yibum and ben ein lo, it says that right next to the pasuk of death. Keishvu achim yachav umet echad mehem uben ein lo. So there, he's defined by the umet echad mehem. But when it comes over here, it just says, she's an Amana, she's a Grusha, the Zera Inla. Okay, fine, then that's all that counts. Zera Inla, she's not got the Zera, fine. Okay, you see how beautiful it is now, the interrelationship between the two sugyas. On every level, we're going to have to work out what rights we have from the Torah to make the distinctions that we made between two sugyas that are fundamentally interrelated, the only place in the Torah where we see that a husband's presence, it continues to impact a woman after his death in terms of achilas truma and in terms of yibum, and where we see that a child from a husband continues to impact a woman after the husband's death in terms of achilas truma and in terms of yibum, so that we need to work out every difference between them and every parallel within them. So now, let me ask you something else, asks Rabbi Yehuda Midaskarf. Umano mokum. Shelo asa meitim kechayim linyan truma. Asa v'lad min harishon kevlad min hasheni. Why don't we look at the other word? Why don't we say nase v'lad min harishon kevlad min hasheni linyan yibam? You've taken for granted that the situation by yibam is unaffected by a presence in her life of children from another marriage. So in other words, despite the fact that this woman may have been married for 40 years to somebody else, she's got 50 grandchildren from that somebody else, 10 children from that somebody else. She just got married in a second marriage. A week later, her husband dies. You're telling me she's chayevet in Yibam because of this wonderful, permanent relationship to her second husband, and the fact that she's a mother and grandmother is irrelevant. I mean, why? Why? Why don't we make a kal vachomer from the other direction? Why don't we say like this? In a place, when it comes to Truma, that the presence, the ongoing presence of the child is what matters. Once a child dies, it's no longer meaningful in terms of achilas truma. Nonetheless, even in that case, the existence of a child by another marriage is enough to definitively affect her rights to achilas truma. So then, I mean, koshiki, in a place where the presence of a child at any time was sufficient to define the chiyuv of yibum, so even though it was only there at the moment of the death of the husband, it's over for Yibum. She'll never be chayavas in Yibum, linyan Yibum. So certainly the presence of a child and her 50 grandchildren from another marriage is certainly sufficient to affect her ability to carry out Yibum for this guy that she just married yesterday. So in addition, I said, Vlad min arishon ke Vlad min hasheni, Talmud lomar, uvein ein lo, v'ha ein lo. Look, the bottom line, sir, is that the Torah refers to his son, and only his son. Does he have a son? Okay.
Doesn't have a son, doesn't have a son. That's all that counts. At that point. The point isn't important right now. We're not looking at the point. We've already proved the point about the point because we got that from the Rachel d'Avinoam. So now let's go back and say, if that's the case, why did we assume that the Vlad Min HaRishon has a din of a Vlad Min HaSheni by Truma? We should say the opposite. We should say, the only thing that counts is the current situation. Does she or does she not have a child from the going to be here? That's all that counts. Because Umar B'Markam Sha'asa Meitim Kechayim L'Pot Ramanayimu. In a case where the Torah says, look, we don't care if the child dies afterwards, bottom line is, the one-time existence of that child is a permanent tour from Yibum. And nonetheless, lo aslav v'lad min harishon kevlad min hasheni, the Torah doesn't care about the fact that she's got children from another marriage, makam shelo asam etim kechayim l'nyan truma, where the Torah is interested in saying, no, it's got to be the definitive presence of that child. And there it's on the existence of the child that defines truma. We should look at the current situation and not the fact that she had children from another marriage. Talmud lomar, no, but nonetheless the Torah says, Bat Kohen, Dialman al Grusha, Vizera Inla Vishova. Now, can we say Vizera Inla in this case? No. Vizera Yeshla. So how is she going to be Vishova Vedavia? I mean, certainly, in the context where we're talking about, she can't even be pregnant. I mean, over there we understand the Torah is interested in her ability to go back home. And you can't go home again, is basically what it's saying. And that's the issue. Hadron Allah Yesh Mutarot.